Hey, welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. So glad you've joined me again today as we continue our journey through the book of Acts. I like to call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit because that's really what it is. Now, I know many of our English Bibles have Acts of the Apostles, but that name was added by the translators thinking that it would give more clarity. I don't think so. The earliest manuscripts simply have the title of And it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Holy Spirit working through the early Christians. And there's so much that we can learn about the Holy Spirit from the book of Acts as we journey through it. Well, yesterday we were in Acts chapter 3. Today we're going to go ahead over to Acts chapter 4. And you know, we ended yesterday, we were talking about the great miracle, the healing of the crippled man at the gate Beautiful, and how Peter used that as an opportunity to point the people to Jesus and preached a powerful message to them. But as he was preaching, chapter 4, verse 1 says, Now as they spoke, that is, Peter and John spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. If there were that many men, no telling how many women and children. So the church is growing rapidly here in Jerusalem because of the bold preaching of the disciples and because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, one thing I do want to point out here, and I have a whole chapter about the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus in my book, Discovering the Real Jesus. These are the Jewish authorities that came upon them and arrested them, laid hands on them, and put them in custody. Why? It says they were greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, think about this for a moment. They could easily have stopped this whole movement, which the center of their message is about Jesus and the fact that He's been raised from the dead. All they had to do was go get the body, put it on public display in Jerusalem, and that would have been the end of this movement. But neither the Romans, neither the Roman authorities, neither the Jewish authorities could come up with the body of Jesus. It was not there. It was nowhere to be found. And so they had to stand by helplessly as his followers boldly preached that he had been raised from the dead and was now seated in the heavens at the right hand of God. So the only thing they could do was arrest them and try to intimidate them and stop them. And someone might say, well, why wouldn't they believe? Well, their hearts were hardened and they loved the power that they had. To believe this message, they would have had to let go of their political power, that the institutional political power that they then possessed in collaboration with the Romans, and they didn't want to let go of that power. Well, so the next day, the high priest and others of the rulers of the people of Israel, they came together and they put them in the midst. And they asked a question about the healing of this man. They said, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now, here's something interesting. This was the sort of miracle, the Bible calls it a notable miracle. It could not be explained away. It could not just be dismissed. Say, oh, that didn't really happen. No, it was such a thing that was so public that everyone was aware, the public, of the surrounding situations, that it was a miracle that could not be denied or explained away. How we need some miracles like that today. But can God trust His church with such miracles? Or would we take such miracles to promote ourselves and to promote our ministries and to promote our churches? May we get back to the book of Acts, like the early church, humble ourselves and use every answer to prayer and every miracle as an opportunity to point people to Jesus. And so they said, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" They knew that a miracle had took place. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed that was done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ," not by my anointing, not by my apostolic anointing, not by my prophetic anointing. No, he says, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands before you whole." Well, Peter is boldly telling them, this is how it happened. Verse 11, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." Now listen, this is so clearly, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among people by which we must be saved." My friends, there is no other name. The name of the Pope won't save you. The name of a church won't save you. The name of Mohammed won't save you. The name of Buddha won't save you. There is only one name where there is salvation, and that's the name of Jesus. All roads may lead to Rome, but all religions do not lead to heaven. All religions do not lead to God. Jesus himself said, "I am the way." We must never compromise this. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And they're probably, I'm sure they're still there on YouTube, if you want to look them up, two well-known evangelical, supposedly Pentecostal or charismatic pastors, leaders, interviewed by Oprah Winfrey. And I don't know if they were intimidated by her, knowing that she does believe that there are many ways to God. But I remember her asking, and I'm thinking of one of them in particular, "Is Jesus the only way to God?" And instead of giving a simple answer, yes, and then elaborating on that, this person swerved, he dodged, he fainted. I'm talking about F-E-I-N-T-E-D. He moved and swerved to the right and left and went in circles. Never did give a clear. My friends, we must give the world a very clear answer today. There is no other way to God. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to be saved and to be forgiven of our sins but through the name of Jesus. I'll read that again in closing. He says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved." And then verse 13, Luke says, "Now when they," that is the Jewish leaders, "saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived they were uneducated, untrained men, they were marveled, and they realized they had been with Jesus." Amazing things happen when we spend time with Jesus. And I pray that the world today, when they look at the church and they look at the followers of Jesus today, that they will marvel and realize that we have been with Jesus. I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. God bless you. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. A lot of good resources there. If you want to be in contact with us, you're welcome to be in contact. If you'd like to partner up with us and help us to get out the Word of God all over the world, you're welcome to do so. And I'll look forward to seeing you next time. God bless.